T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm not a gambling man, whatever, but I do feel that the next one, he's going to put everything together. It was about location, like Lou, you said, you know, with the fastball. He wasn't able to command the fastball on the glove side, which is inside to righty, so into lefties. You see the fastball to Gardner. He was supposed to be away.
LeMahieu.
Inside, the double, LeMahieu. He was supposed to be in, fastball up and away. There was another one there, and he paid the price. He was erratic in the strike zone, but I do feel stuff-wise, he is where he's supposed to be, and I do feel that he's going to take off.
All right, that was Alex Cora with us the other day, and so we'll see. We have to wait a few hours until tomorrow. Much better it being played tomorrow when the weather's going to be a lot better, so we'll see whether Chris Sale has finally turned the corner. The manager says he has turned the corner. But I'll tell you what, that power move during that break, that was unbelievable.
Just, it makes sense, scheduling-wise, Glenn. It does. So I'll do the 1 o'clock game. Now, Mario's 3-0, so I feel like I got a lot of pressure on me right now, not to ruin the streak.
What's your record now?
2-2, I believe.
Oh, it's not bad. It's like Tuca in game sevens.
Yeah, 2-2.
Yeah, that's good.
2-2.
Yeah,
I'm okay.
Seven!
But no, I'll do the 1 o'clock game. We'll do a little OMF hour and a half show or so, and then we can settle in and watch the beats.
So Christian could take a later flight. He's
there you
fine.
Go.
Tell him, call him up right now. Tell him to have a couple more drinks on us.
There you go.
And then he can show
us. So I don't know. They haven't announced, but Sale and Velasquez, guessing. I don't know. Velasquez, nothing official yet, but we'll see. They'll call up an extra pitcher, I'd imagine, for that game. We'll see who it is.
Yeah, Michael Chavez was going to play third base tonight, so my guess is he'll play third base tomorrow.
The kid Boyd, the lefty
first game.
For them,
yep.
He's like, I think... Lefties are like 2-for-20 with a 360 OPS. So there's no lefties. Probably the same lineup you had. Yeah, Chavis will be at third. Vasquez is DHing. They throw Lynn to the Wolves. He's the only lefty. So Moreland's out. Devers is out. But it'll probably be the same one.
It'll be interesting watching Chavis at third base. He can hit. We saw that over the weekend. The question is, can he play third base? We shall find out. We've talked about the Celtics. Celtic fans seem very optimistic. They are very excited that they beat the Indiana Pacers. We're not trying to knock it. Lou and I think are both from the same school of we're going to wait and see. I still want to see them against a really good team. I want to see them. They've put themselves in a hole here where the first two are going to be in the road in this next series. Let's see how this all plays out. Can't turn the ball over the way you've turned the ball over in this past series. You do that against Milwaukee and you'll get blown out in a couple of those games. And Kyrie and Horford, a combined 8 of 32 in yesterday's game. I'm not sure you can have one of those scoring performances from two of your better scorers against Milwaukee and get away with it. Indiana can't score. Hmm. And then the Bruins, I don't know what to expect tomorrow. I mean, you could look at it and say, well, they earned home ice advantage in Game 7, and I don't feel comfortable about this one. Every game has been different, and the team that really needed it goes out there and wins it. The Bruins, a lot of people were down on the Bruins because it was being played up in Toronto in the game yesterday. And what did you see? They went out and they were flying right out of the right out of the gate.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, you had 6 games into it, and you know, I don't think the Bruins have played well and lost. You know, I don't think Toronto's played well and lost.
No,
it is just like you watch a game and you say the Bruins won that game, and they should have won that game. They're the better team.
Yeah.
Then you turn around the next night, and you say Toronto won that game, and they should have won that game. They're the better team. You know, so they just are able to do what they want to do. You know, and the Bruins, you know, you get the defensive effort that you got the other night. You got that second line. DeBrusk kind of waking up. Krejci, that one goal, give and go, the two-on-two was beautiful. Power play gets going. Marchand, I mean, it's just like when they're on top of their game, I still think they're the better team, but they just didn't show up for 3 of them. And the last one, by the way, was a huge game 5 at your place.
Yep.
That one's just sort of like, what the hell was that?
Well, I think that gives you a glimpse into, you just can't look at it and say, they're going to show up tomorrow night, they're playing at home, crowd's going to be raucous, and they're going to win it. I don't see that. Based on what we've seen so far, maybe it's not the
crowd
best
will
thing.
Be into it. There's no question about it.
You know what? It might be the best thing for Toronto, actually, to play away from home, even though they have had nightmares here. Apparently, the fans were starting to get on them in the third period, even though they were putting all of the pressure on Boston in that third period. Hmm. And we did monitor a little bit of Toronto sports radio today, and they have no faith in the team. None whatsoever. So we threw that question out. Who has more pressure on them for tomorrow night's game?
Pretty even. 51% of our people on Twitter say the Leafs, 49 Bruins. I call that 50-50.
Yeah, Matt Kalman brought up the one good point, and he's good. He was on he's on Sunday Skate, and he writes for the website. But he's good when it comes to the Bruins.
They told me Kotkaniemi. Not easy for me to say.
Matt Kalman got the name wrong. But his point is well taken in that he thinks there's a lot of pressure because of the aging players. And how many more opportunities are you going to have with this thing? Well, the Bruins also have a lot of good young players, right? Including Carlo, who has really blossomed this season and played great in that game yesterday. So I don't know if I totally buy it. I think as the game goes, if you've got a history like Toronto, it's a history very similar to what the Red Sox had before 2004. You were there a few times, but you just couldn't get over the hump. I got to believe all of the pressure.
I'm with you. It's not about rosters. You talk about the core and everything else. To me, it's not about rosters. It's about history in the organization, in the city, in sports.
You choke.
Yes.
The four worst words in Toronto sports.
The Bruins.
Game 7 in Boston.
Yeah, they had the higher seed, the better season. I get it. I go back to, 2004. Yankees had a better record than the Red Sox. So was there more pressure on the Red Sox to win that ALCS and get to the World Series and win a World Series? No. I mean, it was a lot more pressure on the Red Sox, rather, right? I mean,
yes.
Because of the history behind it. They haven't won a cup since 67. It's the only team. And I know they got the cute little Raptors up there now, but whatever. It's really about hockey for them. To me, there's more pressure. I was surprised it's actually 51-49.
How many people do you think up in Toronto have fond memories of 1967? I would think there aren't an awful lot, right? I mean, you've got to be up there in age if you have fond memories. Oh, yeah, I remember 67.
It's kind of like the fond memories of 1918.
Right, exactly. Right.
I mean, there was a couple,
and the nursing homes.
Yeah, there's a couple, there's still some people remembering 67.
They're all dead by now.
No, 67, that's not that bad.
Well,
you got somebody in there, late 60s, 70s, they're sitting there saying, hey,
But you brought this up earlier.
I was real young Leafs fan.
They love their Leafs, but there's also that love-hate relationship when it comes to the Leafs, They're still going to let me down. They're still going to let me down. That's why that must have been a killer in 2013 when you're finally there. You think you've got it. We still have visions of them out outside of the arena. All the fans are out there in the street. They're up 4-1. Minutes ticking off the clock at the TD Garden, and they end up losing that game. That one is going to be played over and over and over again tomorrow night. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Network will play scenes from that over and over and over again. And, of course, the same thing happened, not to that degree, but it happened to them last year. So I think there's far more pressure right now on the Maple Leafs. This is history. For the Bruins, this is this season, some of the players are getting older, but come on. This is really deep-rooted bad history for the Leafs.
Yes.
Bad history. Steve is in Winchester. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up, Steve?
Look, anybody that watches hockey knows that, goalies always take all the pressure. When the team wins, it's a goalie win. When the team loses, it's the goalie's fault. You only go as far as your goalie takes you. Tampa Bay, they had the best record, but 85% of the time, the best record doesn't win. And people
Hold on. Their goaltender is the Vezina Trophy winner this year. He's going to win it.
I understand, but you got to understand the Capitals. They're the champs. They're still in it. Everybody's forgetting about them. They're still great hockey players. I'm going to watch that game tonight. The Bruins don't have to be playing for me to watch hockey.
Yeah, they may be out there too.
Steve, have we said that like all the greatest players have been bounced and that everybody left is not good?
No, I'm not saying it's not good, but there's still great players. Hart playing, Ovechkin's still playing.
Agreed.
You got Andrew still playing.
Agreed.
I mean, there's still great players playing.
We agree.
I mean, besides football, if you don't show up for one game and you're gone, that's it. But I mean, hockey, baseball, basketball, you go seven games. You have to, you can play one bad game and come back. So, I mean, the best team that's going to show up. I mean, it's basically money goalies. That's what they're called.
Yeah, no, it's more than the goalies. But I hear what you're saying, that goaltending obviously is even more lopsided if you get into the postseason.
How much goaltending is played into the Bruins in Toronto?
Very little.
It's not. To be honest with you, I don't think Rask is good at all. He butterflies all the time.
You just don't like him. He's been good in this series.
Rask been the problem?
He's let up some bad goals. Like yesterday, he should have never butterflied on that Andrews goal that went in on the short left side on his stick side.
Matthews' goal.
Never should have. He wasn't. He there was nobody in front of him.
That's what I think he's saying.
Okay.
Watching hockey for one of the rare times.
Okay. I would disagree with you. I think yesterday, I'm not sitting here saying that he had a great game yesterday.
Who's Andrews?
I think he's talking about Austin Matthews. Okay. That's what I think he's talking about. But I would say this, that neither one of the goaltenders have been a major factor. Now, that could be a factor in Game 7, right? One of them could have one of those games, and it could be the difference in the series. But I thought yesterday the defense in front of Rask was the big factor.
Big
that was the most
fan.
Important part of it. Who's that?
I'm just saying, that last guy, another huge hockey fan. That Andrews goal.
But here's what I don't understand.
The Andrews goal that he let in.
Right, exactly. Is that Mike Andrews, Julie Andrews? Who are we talking about? Mm. So wouldn't you say this, though? Maybe part of the problem is that these aren't great hockey fans, because I think this really does damage to your regular season. Why should fans get emotionally involved in the 82 regular season games when all you need to do is to get
I don't agree with that. I mean, from an outside looking in, you could say that, but I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning fans loved watching their team play each and every day, and they didn't show up. I'm not taking credit away from Columbus. They deserve to move on. No one's saying that they don't. They beat Tampa. They were better than them. They were down, 3-0 in game one, and after that they dominated them. Yeah. So they deserve to be where they are.
They only played, really, if you look at it, they played for 3 weeks, 4 weeks at the end of the season, right? They were great. Matter of fact, the only team I think they lost to in the last 3-4 weeks, Lou, was the Bruins, 5-1 out there, road game. So when you look at it, though, the regular season, why do we get so worked up if the Bruins are dropping from the second seed down to the third seed? Oh, my God.
The whole talk was to be the wild card so you can jump over to the other division.
To win the Metropolitan.
Because you don't want to do it with Tampa.
Right.
Now you got the best record left in the NHL, and you got home ice if you can win Tuesday night.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I think it does diminish the regular season. All right, 617-779-7937. Right back to the phone calls next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Once again, it's Glenn, Lou, and Christian. Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Brad Stevenson is a great coach. My watch, when the Celtics haven't ran great offense, he calls great sets. He get them in great motion. Their defense is on point, and I had the Celtics coming out the East.
What do you think, Seth?
Yeah, Milwaukee's had an incredible year. I like Celtics chemistry right now. I like an 8-man rotation. I like that understanding everyone's role is clearly defined. Everyone's going to get their minutes. Guys are going to get their shots. They're not looking over their shoulder. Brad Stevens does a great job of game preparation. I like Boston coming out. Milwaukee is terrific. I just like right now the feel of this Boston team.
Wow. That's Seth Greenberg right there. Kendrick Perkins before him. And if you notice that, like, all of these ex-Celtics are coming out of the woodwork, and they're all on the bandwagon. I mean, it's like they're bleeding green here, and they're sitting there going, oh, yeah. So here's what I'm missing in this one, Lou, because, again, we don't want to think that, let anybody think that we're taking anything away from this four-game sweep against the Pacers. But the Pacers are not a real good team right now. Certainly at the offensive end, they can't score. Is anybody paying attention to what Milwaukee's doing? They are blowing the doors off of Detroit.
There we go. Turn my mic on. I would say this. Everything you're hearing about the Celtics, if I left the country for the last 5 or 6 months and I came back and I just saw the Celtics sweep the Pacers and said they're going to play the Bucks in the next round, first off, I'd be surprised that they didn't have home court, right? Because yes. I'm out of town. I just figured they would have the number one seed. They don't. I would sit there and say, yeah, of course they got a good shot of beating Milwaukee. I think they're the better team. I think they have better depth. I think they have better talent. I think that, you know, as much as you have Giannis, I get it. Chris Middleton, respect. I the rest of it, we'll see. But yeah, the Celtics should be favored in this series. Like, that's how I would feel. That when the season started, that's how I would have felt. That's how I would have felt, you know, 4, 5, 6 months ago before the season even started. But I've seen too much from them. I just don't trust them. And I can't just believe that things clicked because they beat a very bad Indiana team 4 games in a row.
So here's the one that chucks me in all of this is, if you look at the 3 games Milwaukee has played so far, the differential in those 3 games of their winning average differential?
20-something?
24.
Yeah, 24.
For Boston, 7.5. Boston is shooting 44% in the first round of the playoffs, and Milwaukee shooting 50%. And I've watched all of these games, all of the Celtics games. I've seen all of the Milwaukee games. Milwaukee is literally just blowing this team off the floor. Now, I'll give it to you. Blake Griffin didn't play in the first 2 games. He did play in game 3, and my guess is he's going to play in this game tonight. So that's a factor. But the Pacers went without Victor Oladipo. So they're a much different team. They're the team that struggled down the stretch. Remember, they were the number 3 seed, and they dropped to 4, and they dropped to 5. And by the way, if the season continued on for another month or two, they would have dropped all the way down to 8.
Yes.
Right? That's where they were headed. That's the team you lucked out with in the first round of the playoffs.
Beautiful.
You got an 8 seed in the first round. That's what you got.
Now, maybe because of that, you were able to work through some things, you know, and you were able to get better against a bad opponent. So we'll see. That's all. I mean, it's nothing really you could. We had Scal in here after game 2 against the Pacers. And you know, even talking about between the breaks or even on the air, he was almost like, I don't even know why we're talking about this Indiana series, because it's all about Milwaukee. And he didn't want to disrespect Indiana, but you could just sense it. He was just like, yeah, good. They won the first 2, and they should win the next 2. And if they do, does it change anything? No, it's about what they look like against Milwaukee, right? I mean,
so I think what's happening is I think people think that their team is much better than the team that faced Milwaukee a year ago. And I would agree with that because you've got a closer in Kyrie Irving, right? You can see how good he is and what he can do in these postseasons. Now, you can go, you know, as Dale would say, icky balooky about Hayward, but I'd like to see it on a more consistent basis. It was nice yesterday. Did you know he played his high school tournament in that same
Indiana's arena? Good to him. It's like a homecoming.
Exactly.
It's beautiful.
Exactly. So he played great in that arena. I would like to see it on a more consistent basis. But I will say this. I think this is going to be a long series, a 7-game series, because I think the Celtics will play better. If the Celtics play the way they played in these 4 games against the Pacers, against the Milwaukee Bucks, they will be lucky if they can stay up for 5 games in that
series.
They
would get swept.
Probably swept if they play the same way. So the Celtic fans that are all excited about the way their team is playing, if anybody thinks that the Celtics can play the way they played in that series against the Pacers and beat the Bucks, you got no chance.
Yeah.
I think Lou's right. They'll be lucky to win a single game in that series. They have to play at a much better level. They can't turn the ball over 16 times a game against Milwaukee in the open court with Giannis. Are you kidding me? This is a team, by the way, that uses a 7-footer to penetrate the paint All right. They also have him. They have Brook Lopez. They have bigs that can defend, okay, the rim. So you know all those easy little buckets that they were getting, taking the ball to the hole because Miles Turner had to take care of the other side of the court? They're not going to get them in this series against Milwaukee. So you can look at Indiana and say they're a good defensive team. Milwaukee, field goal percentage-wise, is better than Indiana. The difference is they can score a zillion points against you. They averaged 120 so far in their series. They're the second highest scoring team in the regular season in the NBA. It's a much different series. And that's all we're saying. Let's wait and see what they can do. I would feel better if the first two games were at the Garden. First two games are out there. You need to split those first two games. You can't come back here 0-2.
Yes, and but that's the thing. It's almost... So, obviously, it's because Game 7, right? You want Game 7, your home court. If the Celtics opened up at home and it was 1-1, how would you feel?
I wouldn't feel great, but if...
If they open up on the road and it's 1-1, how would you feel?
Well, I feel pretty better. Good. I tell you what, if they can go 1-1 in Milwaukee, yeah. it's a long series.
Yeah.
It's a long series. They'll take them to Game 7, probably, if they go 1-1, because they'll probably split back here. Okay, Milwaukee will probably pick one up, but now you're it's a best out of three series.
I just want them to change my opinion of them, and I don't know if they're capable of it. I really don't. I mean, we'll see. Because yeah, I could just sit there and say no matter where they open up, these two teams, it should be 1-1. It should be 1-1. It should go to Game 7.
But you wouldn't feel much better if the first two games were at home. This team is much better.
Yeah,
at
but
home.
Then when they lose Game 1 and they win Game 2, you're going to feel
well. You
even
can't
worse.
You can't do that.
If
against
they split
Milwaukee,
at home, you'd feel worse.
No, you can't do that.
As opposed to them splitting on the road, you feel better about it.
Milwaukee during the regular season was a terrific road team. It would not surprise me at all, even if they lose one of those two at home in the first two, they come and win one. I think Milwaukee is more capable of winning one on the road than Boston is in that series. To the phone calls we go at 617-779-7937. Here's Steve. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Glenn.
Yes, sir.
I'm just so surprised you're making Milwaukee like they're supposed to beat the number 8. They're supposed to blow the doors off the number 8 seed. Meanwhile, Boston was the number 4 seed, and they're playing the number 5 seed.
No, they're not playing a true number 5 seed.
Steve,
that's not a true. You know that, Steve.
If you're
a Celtic fan, you know they're really an 8 seed. Detroit's a better team. Orlando's a better team. Brooklyn's a better team right now. You know that. If you're a basketball fan, you know that, Steve.
No. You're saying Brooklyn is a better team than Boston?
No, than Indiana.
Than Indiana, Steve.
I thought I heard you say something about Brooklyn as a better team. Didn't you just say
no. Indiana, Steve. Try to stay with us, buddy.
Oh, my God. Lou, be nice to me, would you please?
Jeez. Okay, Steve. See you
all right, Steve. We got to go, Steve. I swear to God.
He said please.
Do Celtic fans not pay attention to any of this stuff? I swear to God. Do they pay attention? Do they watch the rest of the league? The point we're making is the Celtics got a great advantage in the first round of the playoffs. They got to play maybe the weakest team in the East. Why are they weak? Because Victor Oladipo went out with an injury back in January, late January, I believe. So, therefore, they were playing hard. They're the little engine that tries their ass off every single night. They're just not good enough because they can't score enough points. And so they were able to hang in there for a little bit, and then it fell apart. And then they started dropping, and they dropped again. That's the point we're making. And Orlando was playing great. The Pacers from the All-Star break on had the worst record by far of any of the playoff teams. Okay? So that means something, does it not?
Yes.
You got to eliminate the first half when they had Victor Oladipo, who, as Lou has pointed out numerous times and nobody apparently is listening, had the highest percentage of closing out games in the fourth quarter of any player in the NBA. And he's gone. They have no closer.
They have nobody that can score
in the fourth quarter.
Which is why this
and you're
team
seeing it in the series.
Had stretches. I think it was at the end of the third, beginning of the fourth. It was like a 5-6 minute stretch where they did not score.
They can't.
You know, that one game, I forget what we talked about, probably after game two, where in the fourth quarter they didn't score a bucket inside the 3-point line. I think they had a couple.
I'll give you another one, too. If you notice, one play will completely destroy them. Okay? So in game three, they had, was it Young, who was trying to throw up a layup? He threw it high off the glass, and it bounced out deep. It was the worst layup you have ever seen. And from that point on, everybody had their heads down going, oh, my God, We can't score at all. There's a lid on the basket. I'm telling you, the next step here with Milwaukee, I think people here in Boston are really underestimating how good the Milwaukee Bucks are. Defensively, new coach, different style. They are really good. And, you know, to me, they're the best team in the Eastern Conference. If you can beat them, especially with them holding the home court advantage, then we'll probably sit here and we'll be throwing bouquets at the Celtics after this round.
Which is fine.
Right. Let's see it happen. I am very suspect of what's going to happen here in the next round. 617-779-7937.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio. WEEI.
No, you asked me a month ago, Ernie. I think all of us is, dude, I got no idea who's going to win the East. I really don't. I'm going to take Milwaukee and Toronto next round. I'm going to go ahead and tell you in advance. I think they've been the two most consistent teams all season.
Uh-oh. Charles Barkley being negative toward the Celtics. How about this one? Sean Grandy, my buddy Sean Grandy, who is the radio play-by-play voice of the Celtics. It is his job on the whole to be positive about the Celtics, but he also, and I'll give Sean credit, he's honest. He's frank about it. Here are five fun facts from the last week. The Celtics just swept a series despite trailing in the second half of every game, holding the lead for fewer than half the minutes, shooting 30 points below their season average. Al Horford shooting 34%. And finally, turning it over 64 times. How do you come out of that feeling good about going against the Milwaukee Bucks? What is wrong with you?
Once again, they swept them. They won four games. They went 4-0 in the first round. They won two road games. I almost feel like you should stop right there.
Yes.
Right? Because as you pointed out, I mean, this is a bad team.
They got an eight seed.
They trailed by more minutes than they were leading.
Right.
64 turnovers in four games.
Lou, they were in the lead in 5-6 minutes of every single game.
They were losing in the fourth quarter in every single game.
Every single game. And we're sitting here excited about it. Here's the one thing.
Was it second half? What did that tweet say? Second half? Or was it... Yeah, trailing in the second half of every single
game. So here's the one thing.
Not in the fourth.
Okay,
the
so here's the one thing I will say about the series that you just saw. There's one positive that I take out of it because I don't like the turnovers. I don't like Al Horford's shooting percentage. And there's a bunch of other stuff I don't like that I've seen in this last series. They're callous with the ball. Right, some of the moves there. The one thing I would say, playoff Kyrie is back. Okay, you have a guy. Matter of fact, if Kyrie was not playing in this series right now, I know people are going to say, well, look at him without Kyrie. If Kyrie was not playing in the series, we would be sitting here talking about game five. That's what we would do. They would still be playing basketball. Kyrie has been unbelievable. All facets of the game, even though he did not shoot the ball well yesterday with your buddy Average Al.
Who shot worse?
What are the percentages? 4 of 19.
4 of 13.
8 of 32 combined. 4 of 13, 4 of 19. Yeah. Kyrie shot better. He had six fewer shots.
The Celtics with the glue, my man, had a plus...
Above average out.
They had a plus 14.7 rating with Horford on the court and a minus 15 with him off, which just goes to show you that he's the most important player, you know, on this team. On the other side, I'm looking at the Celtics had a plus 4.8 net rating with Irving on the court and a plus 10.1 without him. So they're right. They're better without him.
What do your eyes tell you?
that the Celtics are better without Kyrie.
Yes.
That they don't need him.
Forget it. They would be lost without him. Lost without him. He changes the pace of the game. And by the way, he's playing some good defense right now as well. Anybody picking up on that? He's playing some good defense out there. All right, let's get back to the phone calls. Mike is in Connecticut. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, listen, you know, Lou, Glenn, I just want to know when this version of the Milwaukee Bucks came to 85-86 Celtics to you guys.
I'm not saying that. I mean, they haven't proven anything yet.
Congratulations. You have a guy who, and quite frankly, I think Giannis is, you know, hands down the MVP. I actually have a lot of respect for him. He's kind of old school with how competitive he is. But we have a guy that has been able to neutralize him, and Al Horford, who can pretty much make it hard, and we don't have to double him. The problem is you see a lot of the teams.
Hold on. Al Horford neutralizes Giannis? Al Horford neutralizes Giannis.
He can guard. What I mean is he can guard him, and he can make it harder for him to do everything. We don't have to double-team Giannis when Al Horford is in the game. Because he's a 6'11 guy. He can play in the perimeter. He can do everything. And Al Horford is one of those guys. You're not going to back him. You're not going to out-muscle Al Horford the same way you can Thon Maker.
All right, I'm sorry. If Al Horford covers, he'll get embarrassed. I'm sorry. But he's no. This is incorrect. Did you watch last year?
Shemi Ojeleye may be playing.
You have your bias against Al Horford. You have your bias against Al Horford.
No,
Al
I don't. You have your bias. No, I would say that you have your bias towards Al Horford.
No, I watched
when Shemi Ojeleye's got to come out and give you 15 to 18 minutes by guarding him.
The way that Al Horford guards and shuts down Embiid, he can do better and guard Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Do you remember what Embiid did to him last time when Giannis, Aaron Baines came out of the game?
The next five
it was an embarrassment.
We have the better coach. We have, after Giannis, we have the next five best players in the series.
See, this is the problem with
Al. Hold on.
Guys can't even let me admit that Al's decent because everybody goes over the top. I'll tell you what. Let Al Horford go one-on-one with Giannis, and we'll see if he can out-muscle him. Giannis goes to the basket against everybody. Everybody. And the last time they played the Sixers, when Aaron Baines went down, Embiid treated him like his bitch. Okay? His absolute bitch. And it was the greatest game from Embiid's ever since the Celtics because Baines went down.
Hey, Mike.
Stop with this.
Mike, can I just show you bias right now? They have the better coach, right? Okay, which one of these teams, these coaches, have won 60 games in the NBA before?
Oh, congratulations. One, you know, Mike Budenholzer.
And how many times has he done it, Mike?
I don't know, like once I think he did with
twice. He's done it with two different teams. He did it with the Bucks, and he did it. You guys have no clue. No, Mike, here's the problem I have. You are looking at just the Celtics. You're not watching the other teams. You're not watching the other coach. This coach is a terrific coach. He's a terrific coach. He's won twice 60 games.
He's a bad coach, but he's not a better coach than Brad Stevens is right now.
He's got a better track record.
We have the next five best.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Hands down, period, end of story.
No, you don't. You do not.
He's better than Gordon Hayward.
You do not.
Have anybody that's better than Tatum.
Oh, my God. Chris Middleton. I tell you what. Watch out for Brook Lopez. Watch out for him as well. Mike, you haven't watched Milwaukee.
Mike, right now.
I'm telling you, these people have not watched them.
You just said that Brooke Lopez is better than Gordon Hayward. That's what you just said.
No. I'll say this, Mike. Right now, Chris Middleton's better than Gordon Hayward.
Yes, he is.
You don't think so?
He's far more consistent.
Why this is even a question.
Do people not think that?
They're not watching Milwaukee.
That Hayward is a better player than Chris Middleton right now? That's what he just said.
Yes, he just did.
How do you argue with that?
You can't argue. That's what I mean.
And here's the thing. The argument is if you do a draft after Giannis, Middleton will probably be their next guy. And I would, you know, you want to start a team? You're talking about Kyrie, okay? You're talking about the glue?
No, you're starting with Giannis, then you're doing Kyrie.
But I'm just saying that Tatum would be in the mix. I get it, but this isn't a question of roster versus roster. We haven't seen the Celtics do it yet. And when you just gave all these stats, and despite what they did in this series, they beat a very bad Indiana team.
Right. Milwaukee this season was the best road team in the league at 27-14, okay? Which is one game worse than what your home record was. Anybody paying attention to that? And on the road, the Celtics were only one game above 500. So you say, well, what was Milwaukee at home? Well, they had the second best record behind Denver, one game behind, home record of 33-8. I'm not saying the Celtics can't win the next series, but they can't play the way they played against the Pacers. They have to take their game about three levels higher if they want to beat the Milwaukee Bucks.
I want to know what Giannis's numbers are against Al Horford when he covers him.
Well, we can look it up.
No, like you know, like they got Mons, when they cover him. I mean, I'm guessing they're not good because I haven't seen it yet. And if they were, I would have been thrown at it left and right.
See, whoever.
But was he covering him last year in the postseason when he put up 35 or 30 or 31 or 27? Was Al covering him then or no? Because I know Ogilvy started covering him and started doing a pretty decent job, the best possibly job you could do against the guy in limited minutes. But so Al didn't cover him game one, game two last year? Did I miss that or no?
I you can throw
someone
all the
come up. Someone come up with those figures. And I'll tell you what, if he limits him, then you know what? I'll say I was wrong.
Absolutely. I'm not sitting talent-wise. We're looking at the Celtics and we're saying, and we've been saying this since October, that the Celtics can do something special. Before the season began, I was the most optimistic one here. I had them winning 63, 64 games. The most of any team in the league. What did they win? 48, 49. So every month, I looked at it and said, where is the Celtic team I keep on looking for? Where are they? And they never showed up. And by the way, they didn't show up in the Pacers series. They got a stiff in the first round. That's what they got. That's why they're here. Now, if they show it against Milwaukee, I'll sing a totally different tune. All right? Milwaukee's damn good. You're underestimating how good Milwaukee is.
The greatest team of all time.
They still have got to prove that they can do it on the big stage in the postseason.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. By the way, Scal was saying the exact same things that you and I have been saying here, and he's doing the broadcast.
Yep.
Here's Brandon in Pennsylvania. Hey, Brandon.
How's it going, fellas?
Good, Brandon.
All right, so let me start by saying that I don't disagree with either one of you what you're saying. I think probably more with Lou that, you know, you got to wait to see whether the Celtics will show up because on paper, you know, they're fairly evenly matched, I would say.
I think on paper, the Celtics are a better team.
Right,
I'm just saying, so, like, when the season starts, I look at the rosters and I'd say, okay, the Celtics should win.
Right. So my gut tells me Milwaukee, my heart says the Celtics, but I have a question for
At least you're being fair about, you know, right, separating. Right. I respect that.
So would you think, seeing at least, you know, 3 to 4 games from both the Milwaukee series and the Celtics series, would you say that Detroit is a better team without Griffin than Indiana is without Oladipo?
Probably about even. I expected the Bucks even with Griffin, and he did play in Game 3. You know that, right?
Right.
He did play, and he scored a lot.
70%.
I don't know what his percentage was, but he put a lot of points on the board. What did he have in the game? 20-some-odd points. But,
right.
Detroit's not a threat. Detroit's not a threat. Matter of fact, Detroit would have been a bigger threat against Boston, probably, all right, because they play better against them. But, no, I think neither team is really good. But when you're talking about the seeding, I would say that Orlando and Brooklyn are definitely better than the Pacers. And when you take Griffin out of the Detroit Pistons, they're probably equal, which means to me an 8 seed.
So you figure that Indiana and Detroit,
they're about the same. They're about
now
the same.
You got Milwaukee kicking the snot out of.
Yeah, but look at the
Detroit,
second.
We're barely winning.
Brandon, look at it from the All-Star break. Detroit had a better record. Brooklyn had a better record. Orlando had a better record. I mean, listen, they held on as long as they could without Oladipo, and then, you know, the floor just caved in, and they couldn't do it anymore. And down the stretch, they were awful.
But if Detroit played without Griffin for as long as Indiana did with Oladipo, would they even be in the playoffs?
No. But you're missing the point. They have had Griffin for a game, and it was a home game in Detroit, and they got the doors blown off. They were out of the game before it started. The Bucks in 3 games have virtually blown their opponent off the floor. They were up with 30-10, I think, in game one. What are we talking about? The Celtics have not done this to the Pacers. We're sitting here on the edge of our seat in the last few minutes of games against the Pacers, home games against the Pacers. And people are getting excited into Milwaukee with them holding home court advantage.
Here's the reality.
And destroy them?
No, I'm just saying, like, so They've looked better against their opponent than the Celtics did. In the end, does it mean anything? No.
No.
Because I hate doing that.
No,
right?
We start over.
We'll do that in football.
We're 0-0.
I'm just saying, you do that in football.
Right,
oh,
we're
0-0. You only won by 7. They beat that team by 24. They're a better football team than you. And it's like, no, you can't do that. It's matchups. It's given days. Whatever it might be.
Absolutely.
So I'm not going to sit there and say the reason why I think Milwaukee will win is because they're doing a better. They're playing better in the first round than the Celtics.
No, I don't. And I think
it's just this Celtics team. This is the problem. I'm waiting for them to show me. And again, I know they won 4 straight, but I would have felt a lot better if I did see them win, you know, 3 of these games by 20, 25 points.
Right.
Game 1, you could talk about a 22-point deficit. They let them back in. You could say it's a fluke, even though they've done it all year long. Okay, they've taken 25-point games, and they've turned them into, like, nail biters with 3 minutes to go. But I'm waiting to feel better about them. And they didn't do much in this series to make me feel better like things have changed. That's all.
When I
they beat a team I thought they should have beat. They won in 4. I thought that was going to take longer. So good for them. I'm happy. But they didn't change my opinion of them still.
No, I saw runs, 15-0 runs, 17-2 runs by the Pacers. That shouldn't happen. They have no offense. None. Do you see how many easy shots they missed during the series? So, I feel the same way. My heart, I want the Celtics to win, okay? But my head tells me if they don't play at a much higher level, I mean 2-3 notches up from where we are right now, they're not going to win this series. Can they take this team deep into this series? They can if they can steal one of the first 2 games in Milwaukee. I think if they can do that, they can at least make it a long series. All right, 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.